Oh, how they laughed at Stu Sutcliffe's new haircut. Poor Stu had put aside his painting career in Liverpool to live in the most wretched corner of Hamburg, Germany, and play bass guitar in his mate's rock and roll cover band with a silly pun-based name, The Beatles. And now, those very Beatles, four Jean Vincent clones in pompadours held aloft with copious dollops of Brill Cream, were berating Stu for switching to a chic Caesar cut, where the bangs fell straight down on his forehead. The lads knew who to blame for Stu's sudden makeover. Astrid, his existentialist German girlfriend. She cut his hair to resemble the local art school boys, who were in turn imitating the latest French mode. Stu spent the next few days enduring constant japes for his coiffure, but then came an unexpected turn of events. The youngest beetle, George, asked Astrid to cut his hair the same way. John and Paul capitulated several months later. While on vacation in Paris, they realized Stu's look would be necessary for picking up bohemian beauties on the left bank. But chasing tail was only an alibi. After time on the continent, John and Paul had lost confidence in their British take on American swagger and now believed Stu's look would set them apart from the other English rock and roll bands. Despite their initial mockery, the Beatles returned to Liverpool without Stu, but wearing his distinctive mop top. With near baldness being the hairstyling norm for men in England at the time, the Beatles' bangs loomed large in their legend. The New York Times' first ever article about the group reported from the United Kingdom, "One shake of the bushy fringe of their identical mop-like haircuts is enough to start a riot in any theater where they are appearing." While young women loved the Beatles' hair, British adults found it unsightly, unsafe, unruly, and unclean. Factories suspended young apprentices who dared to show up in a mop top. As the Beatles planned their first visit to the United States in 1964, what had been mild British apprehension about shaggy hair escalated into full moral panic in America. University of Detroit students formed a Stamp Out the Beatles Society to protest the band's un-American haircuts. At the Beatles' first U.S. press conference, the media steered much of the conversation toward grooming. "Do you feel like Samson?" asked one reporter. "That if you lost your hair, you'd lose what you have?" Another asked, "Are you going to get a haircut at all while you're here?" To which George Harrison offered the now famous rejoinder, "I had one yesterday." In the ensuing Beatlemania, companies pumped out 15,000 Beatles wigs a day, which TV hosts Ed Sullivan and Alfred Hitchcock plopped on their heads as a cheap gag. At first, young American men also scoffed at the effeminate mop top, but upon noticing the hairstyle's aphrodisiac effect on young American women, they decided it was time to grow out their crew cuts. As baby boomers brought mop tops into their homes, the British invasion leaped from TV screens to suburbia. Parents hated it. A 1965 Gallup poll found that 2/3 of Americans opposed the Beatles cut. The eventual middle-class acceptance of longer hair on men came, argued LSD guru Timothy Leary, only with the primetime television debut of The Monkees, an American clone of the Fab Four with no controversy, no protest, no thinking strange, unique thoughts, no offending mom and dad and the advertisers. By 1968, parents calmed down, perhaps because such anguish over bushy fringes had become moot. A mop top looked eminently respectable compared with the Beatles' full-length hippie locks.